It's 6 o'clock. We'll call the work session order. And the first order of business will be the fence law.
So we talked about it last meeting. I constructed a fence law. I think everyone has a copy. I worked with Tim, our codes enforcement officer, on this fence law that we're proposing. So pretty much it kind of states, listen, you know, the fence can be on the boundary line because you really don't want to tell the neighbor or the home resident that you can build it 3 or 6 inches or 6 feet away from your property line, because then if you look at other neighborhoods, you got that huge gap. Now, people did mention, well, how are you going to maintain it? How are you going to weed whack it? Well, those who have fences know that you could weed whack it from the inside of the fence as well, too. Most fence companies that I've talked to won't put the fence on directly on the property line anyways. They'll put it about 6 inches away, because what happens is the post that is the fence is set it in would be on the neighbor's property line, which they don't want to have that. So, any questions so far?
Yeah, well, they also have to maintain that paint or stain.
I was just going to say
so
that.
So there is a reason to make sure that it's within the property line somewhere.
Well, it's going to be within the property line, but I mean, if you look around, a lot of these fences nowadays, they're self-maintained, right? You have the vinyl fences, but even with people with the wood fences, you really don't see that many people painting them. And I'm sure if they paint it, they talk to their neighbor will give them permission, right? You could always walk on your neighbor's yard. It's not really trespass unless you really have the intent of to commit a crime.
Well, it is if they tell you not to.
Right. Well, what neighbor's going to say, hey, I don't want you to paint that ugly fence, you know?
Ask Tim. We got a few of them.
I was going to say, I've seen some really ugly neighborhood disputes.
Well, then how would you butt up a fence to your neighbor's fence? So you're going to have a gap. If you live next to your neighbor, would you want to see a gap in between, like a 3 feet gap?
That's just the way the code is.
Drive right down.
Oh, I know. That's what I was referring to is your neighborhood. Town of Clay, it's...
Like, some of our neighbor fences are grandfathered in, so they're all butted up to one another. Mm-hmm. Basically, they all kind of share one post, you know? But when we put our fence in, it had to be... it was a couple of feet off the property line.
Typically, they're 2 feet.
And, so even with permission from my neighbor, and I talked to them, I said, look, I want to kind of do it this way. It gives you a free fence.
Right.
The town, I couldn't do it because it was the utility right of way.
Well, so that's like, part of the, yeah, that's a little bit different.
Time Warner, Verizon, all the others, I mean, that was basically their right of way through. To get from all of those properties kind of from the inside.
But for aesthetics, you know.
Oh, it looks ridiculous.
It looks terrible.
Because, I mean, I've got the neighbor behind me had a chain link fence that was now like 4 feet from my chain link fence, and it was sometimes a coin toss on who was going to mow it.
Right.
Whoever
and that's what it comes down to.
First, but.
And I took this from the village of Baldwinville as well, too, and theirs was, I think, 6 inches, pretty much because that footer issue, right? You can't have that footer on your neighbor's yard.
Yeah, most fence companies will automatically push it in 6 inches.
They push it in, yeah.
And they're going to put it right on the line.
No, they wouldn't do that, even though I'm like, hey, put it on my line. The guy said, no, I can't do it. But, if, I mean, for aesthetics, to butt it up to your neighbor's fence, yeah. You don't want to have that gap, too, because then how are you going to, if you have a dog, let's say, how are you going to, you don't have that little area where, like my brother's house, he has a huge gap now. He's got to plant a tree there to kind of connect the two fences together.
So I'll say that where I live in the town of Verona, I had to go for a variance. So I tied into my neighbor on one side, and I had to go in with a letter stating that they weren't opposed to it, and I had to actually get a variance from the ZBA. My neighbor on the other side said they didn't want me connected to their fence because I wasn't using the Bayo chain link fence. I was putting up a stockade fence. They didn't want me to tie into their chain link post. So because they didn't give me a letter of permission, I had to stick to the 2 foot setback. Their fence is 2 foot off of their property line, and I got a 4 foot gap. I would say that you could do it through the Zoning Board of Appeals. If you want to put it on the property line, come in and ask for a variance. put it on the property line if you got permission from your neighbors.
Well, two, I mean, with the chain link fences, you can't really do chain link fences in a lot of areas of Baldwinsville due to the covenances with these neighborhoods anyway. So you wouldn't have that issue where, you know, everything is more or less now. I mean, I have a steel fence because steel was actually really cheap at the time I bought it. It was next to nothing. So, you know, mostly it's all wood or the vinyl stuff now. So, I mean, it's up for discussion. Yeah, so I would say maybe, yeah. I mean, like Tony said, most builders or most fence builders won't put it in right on your property line anyways. They'll do 6 inches off.
So I had a couple of questions. One, on the second page, under height limitations, under A, it says a fence shall not exceed a maximum height of 7 feet for any residential property. Now, we are talking about residential property exclusively in this whole law, I thought. And then you go, and 10 feet for all other uses. So I'm not clear on what we're saying there. And I'll editorialize it as well. I think I get the picture that we want to have something that's not going to detract from the aesthetics of a neighborhood. And I think anything seven feet or higher might work fine in a backyard or a side yard, but a 7 foot front fence might be really high. So I think some clarification, Jeff, on what you mean by A.
Anything over 7 feet needs a building code permit anyways.
Well, is it six or seven?
Seven.
Is it seven?
Yeah, okay. I worked with Tim on that. Oh, so okay. Anything above seven, normally at six feet.
Designed to sign by an engineer.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess what I'm asking or suggesting is, do we want to be a little more strict for front yard fencing and not be even as high as 7 feet?
That's what they, do you look at the front? It's on the front.
I know, but then we need to not contradict what we're saying, Bob. Page 2 says 7 feet. So where does it say on front, in the front? The front yard?
Height limitations, yeah.
It doesn't say anything about the height on the front one. Unless I'm reading
the wrong one. Oh, you got a different one. So when I
this is the old one. That's
the old one?
No, yeah. that's the new one.
This is
you're looking at the old one.
I have the. This is the first one that you sent out.
That's the old one. That's
right.
Gone.
This one came in today. Now, if you have another copy, I'd love to see it.
I'm looking at the copy that was in my mailbox.
Yeah.
Starts with chapter 320.
Huh.
320.
This
you
is
got
the
that
new one.
Yeah, that's.
This is the one that I had in my mailbox.
chapter 320. Yeah, that's the old one. Yeah.
That's not the right
Which
one.
One's the old one?
This that one's the old one.
This one is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the new one doesn't say anything about height, except for in paragraph that second first paragraph at the top. So I think some discussion around distinguishing between side yard fences and back fences, which in my opinion can be higher. I don't know what height, but certainly the front of the house, I think 7 feet is way too high.
I agree.
So
absolutely.
We might want, and then my other question: where does the 10 foot come for all other uses? I think that's...
You took this out of the village?
Yeah.
10 feet is for, in the village, it's for commercial property.
So, right? I the reason why I left that in there, Bob, because, let's say, and Tim brought this up as well, too, where Bob lives, his front yard is actually facing a river. His backyard is actually facing the road. And there's couple houses in this town that are exactly like that, because I had that same issue as well too. So that's why it's.
So maybe we need to clear here and basically say something. Any frontage that fronts a road, a public road, has to be such and such, and regardless of what you could call your front yard or your backyard, anything that what I'm saying is anything that's facing the public side of the world ought to be a certain height. Maybe it's 4 feet, maybe it's 5 feet. You guys throw it out. The other question I had was, and we're going to write it in here, that this excludes the Ag District, which is all of Lysander of that green. But the AR-40, and Al, please help me here if I'm wrong, but a lot of that yellowish area, which is AR-40 in the peninsula, some of it certainly are residential neighborhoods and some of it's farms. I think Melvin is in there. I'm sorry, not Melvin. Well, yeah, maybe the Melvin property.
Melvin is in.
But Jerry Hole's a farm.
I think the easiest way to do it is fences for agricultural purposes are exempt from this law, period.
Okay.
Stated as that. Yep. So if you got a fence for a horse's,
yeah,
you don't need to get a permit.
Okay, so, and what about...
A fence for your cows or whatever.
Chickens. That works, let's pick on Jerry Hole. Let's pick on Jerry Hole for a minute because he's not here. So his whole property is in an AR-40, and we're going to basically exempt his property, the farm part of it. Does this fence law apply to his house?
Yes.
Yes.
So do we really want to go down that road?
Sure. Why not? Why would we exclude his house?
The comeback is then make Bob Girasi put a fence around his house in the agricultural district. And I'm not.
But you don't use it for agricultural purposes, do you?
No.
Then you would have to get a permit to do a fence.
I know. I'm not going to do a fence, but you're going to require me to do a fence, right?
No. If you want a fence,
who wants a fence?
This is for people who
are not required to have a fence. This is if you want to have a fence.
I don't think we can do that.
We're not even going to make you wear a mask.
That's right.
No.
Inside the fence.
We might get the shade, though.
This is if you want a fence. No.
This is to create
a law.
Set of rules for fences.
So
for
people who want. Yep, absolutely.
You only have them on the back and
yeah.
Side.
Yeah, so fences
and if they
aren't
have
really
a specific covenant,
so
then
you're writing a law that basically says if you want to put a fence in, here's what you can do and can't.
Okay.
That's what it is. Hey, the good side, Bob, is going to face your neighbor. The crappy side is going to face you.
Well, that works.
And that's a good point. If they have covenants, we should put something in there about covenants. If a specific area, if a specific development or housing tract or whatever has covenants in place, this does not supersede those covenants. So we're not going to get involved with. We're not going to get involved with if they say you can't have one, and all of a sudden we say you can have one.
That's a good point, Bob. Because what would happen? I can speak in some of the states because that's where I'm at. We have covenants that prohibit fences in front yards.
Yeah, so do we.
You pass a law that outlines what you can do in
right.
the front yard in a residential area.
Next thing you know, people
now
are coming.
Residents coming to us and saying,
right.
Well, the town says it.
Well, this is pretty much the same. If you want a fence, you got to get a permit for it, right? And this is where the setback on your fence has to be X, and the good side has to be, you know, Y. And that's what this is pretty much saying. This
but for those places that have covenants,
yeah, but
yeah,
you want to put,
yeah, we'll put something in there about
yeah.
the about the covenants.
Covenants is
yeah, does not supersede a covenant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But the covenants can't be less strict, right? I'm trying to think.
We still need to follow all
rules
of your HOA.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
not all HOAs. Not all covenants are HOAs.
You can have a 10-foot fence.
But I would suggest you should keep it cleaner than that because whatever you put in that law.
If you were to put a fence in here based upon your covenants or your homeowners association's bylaws, these are the steps you need to follow. Right?
Well, at least.
What's that?
You could word it like that, right, Tony?
Yeah.
Minimum.
Homeowners association really has nothing to do with the town. I mean, that's an agreement between the people who live in that little area. And our law, in my opinion, supersedes homeowners association in terms of, as you said, they can make it less restrictive than us, but they can't make it more restrictive than us.
Well, they can make it more restrictive from an architectural standpoint.
I'm sorry, the other
way around.
Obviously,
right.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
But not, they can't make it less restrictive than what we...
Right.
Yeah.
An HOA can't say, well, you could have whatever fence we're not going to allow in a residential area.
Right.
Right. You can have chicken wire or, not that an HOA would, but you never know. Maybe it's a community of chicken raisers. I don't know.
Too much chicken wire in this town.
But it's, yeah.
So is there a term?
I don't want to see something that would allow a member of our association and some of the others that I'm familiar with to be able to supersede
Your rules.
Because we don't want fences in front of yards. I mean,
no, have you read this, though? Jack, have you read this? Have you seen this?
You might not have seen the new copy.
You haven't seen the new copy? Yeah.
I'm just listening to you.
Yeah, no, no.
I mean, remember, it's going to go through a public hearing.
Yeah.
We don't have to vote that night. People could give us information and we can adjust that.
This is informational gathering as well, too.
When you started talking about the height of fence in front yards,
well,
that's what caught my ear.
Yeah, that's what Bob brought up, too, because I wanted to also state that, and that was a good point that he did, because I forgot that, for an example, his front yard is really his backyard, so on and so forth. There's a couple other areas of the town like that, too, so it's we're not going to have fences in the front yard, no. No. No.
It doesn't say that in this proposed law, though. It doesn't say that.
So we actually have some setbacks for front yards in section 320-60.
That would have that, yeah. According to Tim, there is that.
Obviously, we need to refer back to that section 320-60 in that front yard setback.
Because that's why Tim didn't put that in here as well.
So, is there another term that's a little bit broader than farm use? And, let's say it's in the AR-40 area. If someone wants to build a fence to protect their equipment, not a cow, but their equipment, and they just want to build a 10-foot-high fence around their equipment, and they're using it for farming, but there's not a cow behind the fence. It seems to me we ought to be a little bit... no, not necessarily. Like you're
the
not,
equipment they're putting behind it are the plows.
It's a tractor.
Well, no, let's just say it's not. Let's just say I'm not even a farmer in an AR-40 area, but I'm not in a residential neighborhood, and I have a big open field, and I want to build a fence around my cars.
Well, do we end up with the same situation that we got on the corner of Mercer Street and Dexter Parkway if we allow that?
Well, that's a fortress.
Well, no, but that's what we...
But anything over 7 feet anyways, you have to get a town building permit.
What I'm getting at is what Bob's asking for allows for a loophole for crap like that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but they're in an ag district, and we're not going to control that with this law. Right? We're not going to control AR-40 or greater?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of AR-40 property that is residential development that should apply, like Whitetail Woods, for example, or
Talmore
Park, or
Talmore,
Brickwalk, Talmore.
Some in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, those are all AR-40 zones.
Right. That's the issue. I mean,
that's why we said agricultural purposes are exempt. We throw that in there.
Okay, so where can somebody have a horse? Does our
code does restrict?
Does our code, our farm animal law restricts that? Because the one house on Church Road that I can't remember the people's name, that used to be Rachel's house years ago, he fenced in the whole yard when they had horses. The entire yard was fenced except for the house and the driveway. And Bob knows, he's driven by it. And it did seem odd, but you know, back to Jeff's point, if someone in AR-40 decides to fence their whole yard in and let their cattle graze in their front yard, or horses, we can't say it's not for a farm use, but it's also in an AR-40 district, so it does bring a question up.
That's why we use that agricultural purposes.
I mean, that house you're talking about, by our agricultural code, couldn't have horses. Area requirement. I know exactly what you're talking
about.
What?
Yeah, they're an ag, but they don't meet the area requirement to have a horse.
What's the area?
5 acres. So,
but I don't know how much acres. I don't know if they own into the woods. I just know the whole yard was fenced.
And I'm familiar with the parcel.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
right. I mean, they don't have them anymore, but yes. Let's say somebody does have 5 acres and they only fence part of it. I mean, it could be an issue.
Is that all farm animals that you have to have a minimum of 5 acres? Like if you had goats or pigs or
chickens?
Chickens?
Oh, chickens is an acre. That's right.
Chickens are an exemption, but yes, it's all farm animals.
What other questions?
Well, it just seems like some tweaking needs to be done with the verbiage here. So, what do you want to do tonight?
We can go over. Before we have the public hearing. And also keep in mind that once we have the public hearing, you can change some of the stuff.
Right. Yeah, it might change again, too, based upon input.
We might get five issues that get brought up we didn't think of, and we got to change this.
You can change, you can amend the proposed local law.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
So...
So you want to? Are you? So you're proposing that we pass this resolution tonight to
have
call,
hold a public,
call
hearing.
A public hearing, get the input, and then we can tweak it from there.
Yeah, we'll tweak it prior. Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, take
sure
notes and all these.
Cover hopefully everything, but if we don't, you know, somebody brings something up at the public hearing, we can change.
Well, and I think you're just trying to get this along in the spring when people are usually thinking about doing fences before another fence season comes up. Yeah. And that's. I think we should have a public hearing and get the input and go from there.
I'm good with it.
I mean, we're still, it'll be the first week in March.
Another draft copy will come out before the public hearing.
Yeah, nothing set in stone, yeah.
Yeah, the public notice will say that the proposed public law is available to town clerk's office.
I'm fine with it.
All right, good.
Do it.
Okay. Next one.
River Knoll Phase 2.
So the developer for River Knoll is actually a new developer. The original developer was Frank Fowler. He has sold it to Eldon Homes and Dan Barnaba. We've all looked at this multiple times over the past decade. The existing roads off of Drake's Landing Road, and when you go in there, going to, around a cul-de-sac to the right as you pulled in, are all private roads. Mr. Barnaba has offered to construct a new road, which is the dark shaded road that I put a highlighter on here, to town standards. From a geometric standpoint, it meets the requirements of the town code. From a resident standpoint, the existing piece of River Grove Trail off of Drake's Landing is 24 foot wide. It does meet our geometric standards. However, it was not inspected when it was installed. From a plow standpoint, it makes sense to, if you're coming up Drake's Landing Road, turn right into River Grove Trail, come around Hickory and Old Lane. There's actually a cul-de-sac right directly across from Glacier Ridge Road. Go in, plow that cul-de-sac, come back down, come back out on Drake's Landing, and continue your plow route. So there's no turning around. I would say that if the board is willing to consider this, the restrictions would be we make the homeowners association pay for cores to verify that the asphalt thicknesses are adequate and that there's adequate subbase under the road. And that they agree to sign the deed to the right-of-way, because right now the deed to the right-of-way is owned by the Homeowners Association over to the town for that piece of River Grove Trail. It's about 320 feet in length. I've spoken with Ken about it.
Is that it right there?
No, the piece right. coming off
oh,
of Drake's.
Right there, yeah.
I spoke with Ken about it. He wasn't opposed to it. I would just say that all expenses from a investigative standpoint and legal standpoint would need to be paid by the HOA, and you know, make it very clear in the resolution accepting it that no additional roads, existing roads, will be considered for dedication because they do not meet the geometric standards of the town of Lysander. And the big issue there is that cul-de-sac has houses in the middle of it, and we can't get around that cul-de-sac with our one-way plows without literally taking up the whole road, and there's no line of sight with the houses there.
You talking about here?
No, there's another road. Right here. There's another road that goes that way. Yep.
This way, yeah.
And on top of that, with a one-way plow, we're going to bury the driveways that are in the middle of the cul-de-sac with snow.
And yeah, that's. I mean, you're talking about, I call it a circle.
Yeah.
You can go around.
It really is a cul-de-sac that...
Yeah.
Is there grass in the middle of that cul-de-sac?
No,
there's three houses
in
the middle of it.
Yeah.
They like crammed three houses in the middle of it.
We
can't take it. We just can't.
So the developer is proposing to take what you highlighted in yellow.
The piece that's shaded in gray is what he's constructing as phase two.
Right.
He's willing to construct that to town standards.
but not the stub.
The stub is already existing.
Okay.
Coming off of Drake's Landing, you see that, Kev?
Yeah.
Down here.
Oh yeah, I'm just.
That stub is private.
This
stub.
You're talking this.
This is existing and is a private road right now. We'd be taking this 320 feet of private road.
But what I'm talking about,
this would be, this does not,
that's nothing.
The only way he can dedicate this to the town would be if he redesigned the road. This does not meet our,
which is what I brought up.
This does not meet our geometric standard. And if he wants to lose some lots and reconfigure that, I think that we could consider taking it, but as of right now, no.
So we're not.
We're not even discussing that right now.
Okay, so take that little finger off the gray out.
Correct. That's not. We're not taking that.
This little area here.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're not. We don't.
We're not taking that.
Only in yellow. Only the.
Only what's in yellow.
Just a straight line. Just a straight line.
Yep.
Now the planning board meeting, the developer was fine with leaving this a private road.
He is still fine with it.
Okay.
He is still fine with it. He offered it up because he's, you know, gotten an ear from the full from the homeowners association, just like we have.
Right.
So why would we do it then?
Right.
I'm. He asked me to bring it to you. I'm bringing it to you. If you're opposed to it, say I'm opposed to it, and he'll make it a private road, and it'll be a private road.
Well, this, I mean, this goes back to what I said to Al at the planning board meeting in December. We got to get some kind of handle on how private roads are built. Because if they're not the town spec, and 12 years from now, this group of homeowners complains about paying $50,000 a year to have their road plowed or have to have it repaired. And they're going to come in and say, well, we pay highway taxes too. Why don't we count? They don't understand it at the time they buy a $400,000 house.
They need a new attorney then.
No, you don't. You know what I'm saying. And it creates, you know, the fine print of, well, it's a private road and people pay it, and then they get irritated when they have to replace it. I mean, I live on private road, Highland Green, and we're all paying to redo the paving and all that kind of fun stuff. But it's, I mean, I don't. I'd love to see it built to town spec, but I think if we accept that part of a road, it's going to open up a can of worms.
Well, I don't like adopting roads if they're not built to town specs. B, I also don't like, I'm always just a little weary when a developer has a plan and then comes in later on and gets all, crosses the T's, dots the I's, and does everything that in order to get it through planning board. And then says, oh, wait a minute, one more thing. If you would just take that road from us. That always is a little red flag to me, you know, and it happens.
But he certainly gets benefit in that he's going to be able to sell, hey, the town's going to plow the road in front of your house instead of the homeowners association plow.
And then
he gets a selling point out of it.
And then those six people, what, don't pay into the rest of the road?
No, they would still pay into the full homeowner. They're still counted as part of the homeowners association. They'd still be paying the full homeowners association fee.
Right, that's what.
But that's between them.
Their benefit.
That's between them.
That's not a town issue.
It's
not a town issue. About
HOA. The 30,000 foot.
They wouldn't have to pay for replacement.
So let me ask.
Yeah, I bet
you're
going to try to figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a reason the laws are
not on private road.
Correct.
Well, they wouldn't have to.
What is the advantage of doing this?
They wouldn't have to pay for as much. And we would plow that road.
Yes, the whole homeowners association wouldn't be paying for as much.
Right. It'd be less.
The homeowners association in its entirety wouldn't have to pay as much.
The highway tax that they're already paying would pay for that section, that River Grove Trail and down Hickory Knoll, the additional part that he's talking about. I personally think they pay highway tax. If we can get them, if we can ensure that this section of River Grove Trail from Drake's Landing up, is built to town standards, and he's willing to build the new section to town standards. They pay highway tax. I think the whole development pays highway tax. I think that we can, personally, I think we can make a concession and say, yeah, okay, you know, we'll take this small, what is it, 300 feet, you said?
100 yards?
Okay, a little over 100 football field.
Yeah, a little over football.
Yeah, and this new section will be built to standards. But like you said, if this doesn't meet, if we do the core samples and it doesn't meet it, then the, then it's off the table. But if it does meet it, then why not?
Well, I go back to what Bob Drossi has always thought about, and when we take on additional roads, additional money the town has to occur, right? If the town, if the road is built to town specs, I don't see why you can't, why I wouldn't have a problem accepting it. But what does the town get for this, right? What additional benefit is it for the town to accept this road while we're going to incur additional costs now,
Jeff,
maintain it?
Would you mind if I added to what you
go
just
ahead.
Said?
Go ahead. I'll let you take over.
But no, it's a tangent to what you just said. So let's back up. We've been developing, I guess, a philosophy, a policy that says to any developer with your new development, keep in mind you're going to have to prove to us mathematically that your development will pay for itself, including all of the road maintenance from year to year, as well as the upkeep of that road. So if this was a brand new thing from this point to this point, do these houses pay for that road? And if they don't, why would we do this? Because we have been saying to developer after developer, we're not going to accept your roads until you can show us with Al's...
This is a high-density residential. This isn't like this is acre lots. These are quarter acres.
So you're answering my question in the affirmative. The amount of housing along this road is going to pay for it.
These are narrow lots.
What's
these are very narrow lots.
Then I don't see why not. If it meets up town specs, then how can you say no?
So,
well, we don't want to turn the plow truck around. We don't want to just take the new piece is what I'm getting at. From a long-term maintenance, if we just take the new piece as a town road and we don't take the piece off Drake's Landing, it creates a pain in the you know what for Ken and his guys.
No, it has to be the whole thing or nothing.
Right.
Because you said, you got to be able to, you have to have a drive through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No.
No, we don't want to turn around. That.
No.
That takes off the table too.
All right, so that being said, so can we get, so now we need two things. We need, we need the answer in the affirmative, but I'd like to see numbers in the answer of the affirmative that these lots will in fact maintain. And I think the number's 50 years, isn't it?
It's forever.
Okay.
It has to be
forever. That these lots do in fact will be able to maintain that section of road in perpetuity.
In perpetuity.
So that's one part of it. And then the second part is, of course, we need core samples.
Yeah.
So we'll get all that together, and then we can actually hold this discussion.
Because then I will feel much better about telling anybody. The reason we did this is because it fell within our policy, within our framework of accepting roads only when they can pay for themselves.
So our threshold right now, mathematically, it works out to lots of about 140 feet, 440-foot width, pay their own way from a long-term maintenance point at current costs. Anything wider than 140 feet isn't cut in the mustard. Mm-hmm. These lots are 80 foot. So we're well within our from a, I'll certainly plug the numbers into the spreadsheet for you.
It's good.
Easy to do, not a big deal.
Good, thank you.
But I'll assure you that these lots are currently.
That's good. That's excellent.
If Ken's happy with it and it works for his guys, then it works for us.
Have you looked into this at all, Ken?
I haven't driven down it, but it doesn't seem to be much of an addition where we're not going to get on any of the narrow parts. It would be nice to go in one way, come out the other, and continue.
Right. So you could actually go right straight across Glacier Ridge because they have the cul-de-sac on the other side.
Right.
Pull across Glacier Ridge,
right.
Do that cul-de-sac, come back down, turn right on Drake's, and continue on your way.
Right. I get all that. The two roads, it gives you plenty of options on how to fit it in.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess I should look at it this way. If he built the lots different, it would have been 140. Town roads anyhow.
140?
140.
What do you got, Jeff?
Other than giving the developer a sales item, selling them to those houses, and other than maybe making a few new people and a couple existing people happy, well, what the hell is in this for the town to do this? And why are you doing it? Would you do it?
Well, I think that just like with any new development, if we're going to, you know, you try to have the same standards for anybody. So if a developer came in and he wants to put a road in and it pays for itself, like Bob said, we would do it for them, and that's all we're doing. We're just accommodating the developer by having the same standards.
Al said, though, that kind of implied that Dan doesn't care.
Dan has said he just wants to move along on the construction. He has approved contract drawings for this. He can put a shovel in the ground and start putting infrastructure in tomorrow, and it'll be a private road, and it's a done deal. His big thing is he just wants to get some kind of direction from the town board. If they're willing to consider it, he'll go ahead and come back in front of you with a set of revised contract drawings that you guys can approve. But he doesn't want to go through the cost and the expense of having his engineer prepare those for your approval if it's not something you're willing to consider.
Well, and the other thing to consider is if as Al is saying, 140-foot lots, that's a rule of thumb for paying for the road, and these lots appear to be approximately 40 feet.
No, 80 feet. They're about 80 feet.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at the scale.
They're not 40 feet.
All right. Well, whatever. I am looking at the scale here. But I mean,
you're pretty narrow.
They are very narrow.
That's printed on 11 by 13. It's supposed to be on 24 by 36.
Okay.
So that's what
I'm saying. And yeah, I guess my point is, anytime that a group of houses pay more than it would take to cover that road, then that helps offset issues of the past with houses built on bigger lots that don't pay for themselves.
That's true, but if that was a private road, you'd still be getting the same tax rate.
You'd still get the same tax
rate. Well, it's more for the the resident.
But those individuals are paying taxes, though. They are paying, they are paying highway tax, right?
Yep. Everybody. Oh,
yeah. They're paying highway tax.
I'm just saying, if you look at the math, it favors you to have that private road.
Every time. For every development ever, for the rest of the world.
So, Jack, let me ask you this.
I just don't know that that's feasible. I mean, if you think about it.
I guess how I'm approaching this is it'd be great not to have to do it because we make out like bandits. But on the other hand, why are we accepting the roads in Collington Point or Cabbage Patch or anything like that? Those people play by the rules we ask them to. We ought to be consistent.
This is apparently a different developer than who started the project. The first developer that started the project.
But it's
it doesn't matter.
It's
though.
The policy of saying, we'll take a road if you can show us that it will pay for itself. So why would we be arbitrary against and not take this one?
I'm just raising questions.
No, I hear you.
I would look at it and say this. Every development you're talking about, Colin pointing out, was a standard development, and the whole development was developed the same way as the same type of road. Built to town standards. That's why you took it. You're creating a hybrid here. Because half of this development, actually more than half of this development, is going to still be on private road. Unless he's willing to redesign and move some lots, and then he can come in and say, now the whole thing's going to be built to town, but you're creating a hybrid. And that's okay. I mean, if you want it. I'm just saying, to me, those are apples and oranges.
Sure.
But we're only talking about one road, and the majority of the road is built to town standards. It's a new developer. So when you got a new developer, why not give them that consideration? Not only that, you have a number of houses in there or a number of residents in there that pay highway tax and they're not getting any benefit from it. So we couldn't accommodate them with taking over the cul-de-sac because of the original engineering of those roads. But to try and do as much as we can for those residents in there, and this would at least give them some relief, I don't think that's a bad thing to do.
No. Just asking questions, you're going to make the decision.
You made me think, Bob. They are getting some benefit, unless they're hermits and they're staying on the road they live on. They are getting benefits by being able to traverse throughout the town.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying they don't get anything,
so,
but
there is that. Too,
yeah, but
that I didn't think of before.
I mean, if you live on a county or state road, you're still paying town highway tax.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's there's no way around it. You're paying the tax man.
But I mean, if we can, if this will pay for itself, what does it hurt the town to make an accommodation for these people? That's what I'm saying. You know, and if we can try and help them, give them some relief for some of the issues they have, why not do that? That's my perspective.
So I have a question for you, Al, regarding the formula for whether or not it pays for itself. Does that formula take into consideration eventually, is there any percentage that is applied to that formula for buying trucks or hiring new personnel or any, like, as we acquire more and more roads, does the equation take into account any of that?
Yes. Well, they account for inflation, which would account for those costs. You do have a truck allowance in there as well. It's a small percentage of the overall maintenance costs that we built into it. You know, I'm not going to lie, it's a bit of a wag, because how do you, I mean, if each plow route is even the same distance, so there's no real good way to totally tie it down. I'm trying to think of how, I think I set that up as over the life of the road, it would be 2%, I think I put in, for the value of a truck. And I would assume that you got, you know, 50 different roads that are being serviced by one truck, basically. Seem like a reasonable approach. There's no great way to do it.
I know. I'm sure there's no great way. I was just curious what else was built into the formula. And I'm not talking about a truck. I'm talking about additional trucks because of, you know, eventually you build enough routes, you need more people and more trucks to plow additional routes.
Okay, but you're, as long as the formula is the same,
right. You
cost per mile still.
As long as your cost per mile is still the same, doesn't matter.
So,
if your cost per mile is the same, and you're bringing in that much revenue, more revenue for each additional house, then it works. Right?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
It
works until that tipping point where needs to hire a new MEO.
I think you're living in a vacuum if you don't realize that we get the longest plow routes in the county. I mean, we haven't kept up with the times or the needs.
Right, and I'm not saying we shouldn't hire. I hire more or buy more trucks. I'm just curious about the formula because I don't know the formula. I just don't know. The 140 feet is the only number I know on the formula. That's all I'm saying.
Holy cow, he's like Moses.
So that's all right.
From a logic standpoint,
yeah,
it goes to say that
you add an extra 100 houses in, you're probably going to need a new truck, but they'll pay for the new truck.
I mean, basically, I think that formula is the core of it is set up in order to say, how do we pay for that road and the current fleet we have? Al has put some kickers
on additional
top of that.
Yeah, some
and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Try to gains right. what you're talking.
Right, and that is what I'm talking yeah. about. I figure the originally it was set up with this is what we have to work with, this is the price, yeah. this is the cost yeah. of materials, this is what we can do. But then I did start to think about, all right, yeah, what happens when it balloons beyond.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Well, in the case of a school, okay, you have a certain cost to educate each student in that school. And that cost is based on the staff, the teachers, everything. Well, all of a sudden you bring 100 new students into that school, and guess what?
The school raises their taxes.
Right, which is what I'm trying to. That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
Sorry. The numbers don't always make it, is what I'm saying.
I understand. I was just yeah. trying to get it.
But with this formula,
as I could.
Yeah, but with this formula, I mean, you're gonna be at a point where you're actually bringing in more money than it's costing us. But then there's gonna be a point where we're gonna be at the bottom end, and we're gonna have to put on other trucks, and it'll just barely cover it. But you know, if the formula is accurate, then we should be able to cover those costs.
Right. Yeah. But the one thing you can say about this proposal is this will never lead to another truck. Because you're only talking about a short
we can go route. Into, just, but so I get that. I get that.
You know, with these two things.
20 more miles a day.
Because it's specific yes. individuals.
There's and, where you get into
the employment yeah. history and specific individuals. Okay. So what I want to do, just break from this for a second. We have our new comptroller here, Jennifer Fricano, and I'd like everyone to at least meet her before we, and if you have any, come on up, Jennifer. And then if you have any questions for her, was the, how did that look to you? Was that look okay? Sure.
I'll be wearing sandals Sunday and going to Florida.
Man, I can't do it for you. My feet would be freezing.
Look forward to that.
It's been years.
At least he's been in Florida.
That's right. I know.
Before that. I heard the story.
Did you?
Amazed me that day.
I get it.
It's been almost 10 years.
Yeah. But these things here, that's just in our, what every employee gets. Mm-hmm. There's nothing different here.
Yeah, nothing different other than the starting position. Because we had to negotiate, and that's what they were. And then the rest of it besides.
They get 16 days vacation the first year?
No. She is, because she started with nothing. But then it goes to the hand. And it goes on the hand.
What do you mean she goes, she started with nothing?
When they don't. This year she will, but next year it'll go to the handbook and it'll revert down to 10.
Why is it 16?
We negotiate.
So it is. So,
Yeah.
But just this year. Just this year.
Mm-hmm. I think that's terrible. Starting off with 3 days vacation.
She's aware.
It's
19. That's like a significant change in the contract.
County employees get
Why don't we take a Jennifer?
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Dig it five for first year?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. We'll get titled to 3 days personal for the first year. Oh.
It's personal. Oh. That's not a vacation.
I'm going to get a fireball.
I guess you guys convinced me. So is Dan going to look into this? I mean, what's he want our say of it?
People willing to say yes, that if he comes back in with a revised contract drawing saying that we'll take the road, he'll come. Well,
if it meets our specs, though.
2 weeks with a revised contract drawings asking us to sign it.
So who's going to look
do
the into
core
the
samples,
road?
Though? Who's going to do the core samples?
Is he going to do it? I would think we should have the homeowner association.
Right, yeah. But is that going to be done before he comes in? And
it would have to be.
I can ask him that, yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be.
Hey, we got to do the cores before
he comes in.
Before he comes in.
Right, you can't approve it.
Can you look at those cores?
Oh, I want to be there when they do.
Yeah, good.
I want to be there when they do.
Yeah.
Take your time and look into that.
I mean, I'll even help you. Yes. Organizing a contractor that can do it.
Yeah, I want that done. Yeah, with you there. I don't want
else.
I don't want a contractor say, well, you're there. Yes, there.
So,
if he had built this
I just need to go into executive session. I'd like to go into executive session for the last 5-6 minutes so that we can talk about the employment history of Ms. Fricano here, and to talk about contract negotiations as well tonight. Can get a motion to move into executive session?
So moved.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Let's just go.
Hey, Kevin, are you game on the river?
I am.
Hey. Bob, give me a thumbs up. Can you give me a thumbs up?
Yeah, I...
Okay.
Yeah, I was overreacting to it. Bob's right. We can fix it.